Blog Talk Radio.
And I'm in denial. And it don't take no x-ray to see right through my smile.
I know.
I'd be on the go. And it ain't no drink out there that can numb my soul.
No.
All I wanna do is take the chains off. All I wanna do is break the chains off. All I wanna do is be free. All I wanna do is be free. All I wanna do is take the chains off. All I wanna do is break the chains off. All I wanna do is be free. All I wanna do is be free. Tell me why. Every time I step outside, I see my people die. Oh, I'm letting you know that it ain't no gun they make that can kill my soul. No. All I wanna do is take the chains off.
Okay, good afternoon, everyone. It is Shamika Tia. Today is Monday. What's today's date? Monday, January 15th, 2018, and today's show is titled Part 2, The Close the Portal. We started that last week, and that was a good one. I told them last week that I had another topic that I was going to teach about, and as clear as day, I heard close the portal. And I was like, okay. And I just started tapping into more of what God was saying, and I'm glad I did. And then, and this is the amazing thing about when God gives you something, then he'll just start connecting the dots all around you. So Tuesday, I had the show last Monday, and then Tuesday, I'm coming home after teaching class, and there was a video waiting for me in my inbox, and guess what that video was about? God's portals. I was like, okay, God, I see what you're doing here. So it just made me tap in all week. Then I went to church on Thursday. They touched upon that. I mean, so much revelation is coming in. It's really good. God is definitely up to something. And I know every year, every generation says the same thing, but I'm not even kidding. He's up to something huge. He's always up to something. That's why every generation probably says that. However, what's so unique in this generation is because this is the end, okay, of the beginning. So that's what's so fascinating about this season, this generation. It's a little bit unique, different than any other generation ever. If you're paying attention, you will see that I'm surprised that they even would have mistaken their generation to be the end, because this generation, there's things going on that never happened before. So I'm sorry, I'm getting work texts. Oh no, you know what I forgot to do? Oh, no, it is on speaker, because I'm on Blog Talk. So for those that are not familiar with the show, you can dial into Blog Talk. That guest dial-in number is 563-999-3682. I also have the chat box open. Did it open yet? It's trying. There it goes. I have the chat box open if you want to join via internet. We on Facebook Live. So, yeah, we got the phone, live, and internet, okay? All right. And before I get going, I'd like to do a little quick intro. I'm Shamika Tia. I'm 42 years old. I live in Georgia. I'm the mother of one male child. I am studying and growing in the Word, and I have invited you to take the journey with me. As I said before, the title of today's show is Part 2, Close the Portal. If you did not have the opportunity to view Part 1 yet, definitely do so. I mean, you can still watch today and follow along, but definitely catch up on Part 1. I'm going to do a quick recap about Part 1 anyway. I invite you to get out your own Bibles. I'll be reading from the King James. And before I start reading, those of you that are familiar with my shows, yeah, I know I always used to say, I'm not a pastor, I'm not a teacher, I'm studying more of the Word. Well, guess what? I am enrolled in Bible class. Yes. God is so amazing. He's just pushing me, and taking me out of my comfort zone. I'm going, kicking and screaming, but I'm going. So that starts tomorrow. So not for long. I had already stopped. When he showed me that, I had already stopped saying I'm not a pastor or a teacher. And this, I had already stopped saying that as soon as I saw what he was showing me. But anyway, I want to. So, okay, good. I see we got viewers internet. We got people on Facebook. And I got the audio going too. Again, that number is 563-999-3682. And that's, you know, and on there you can be able to talk or ask questions. I mean, you can post questions here too. I'm not saying that. You can post anywhere and ask questions anywhere. But if those that want to be a little more, you know, let's say you got a long question and you need to explain some things, you can dial in. And if you press #1, I'll see your phone number in the queue and I'll unmute your mic and then you'll get an opportunity to speak. Okay, so before we get going, y'all know I like to read the 7 rules regarding prophecy. This is called the 7 rules regarding prophecy. The first rule is to understand prophecy as history written beforehand. Second rule, give the same meaning to words of prophecy as you do the words of history. Third rule, do not seek for hidden meanings. Fourth rule, do not think prophecy must be fulfilled before it can be understood. Fifth rule, do not interpret God's own interpretation of anything in prophecy. The sixth rule, take all prophecy literally unless it is clear that it cannot have a literal meaning, and then get the literal truth conveyed by the figurative language. And the last rule, number 7, let the Bible be its own interpreter. Let the Bible be its own interpreter. So if you follow those 7 rules, you should even keep them by your Bible so you're not forced to try to start trying to interpret the word. Our detail-oriented God has already interpreted the word for us. So when you're reading scripture, if you don't understand what you're reading, always check at the bottom of your book. All Bibles is a little bit different. My Bible is a study Bible, so it has like references to other scriptures where I can go to. It has little explanations and little breakdowns and etymologies of, you know, it's a real thorough Bible I have. So I feel it to say, if it did not have that, I still would be able to just read on and understand. Like, you get the interpretation. For example, I was reading Ezekiel, and it was talking about a lot of the gates, this and the gates on the left, the gates on the south, the gates on the east, west. And at first I was like, ooh, what's this? But then when you keep on reading, you get the interpret. God will interpret his own word. You know what I mean? So you don't have to guess at anything. And if there is something that you don't understand or you can't really discern, just ask God and he'll connect those dots for you. So don't try to go at it alone, please. You will hurt yourself. That's why it's a lot of people that's practicing into dibbling, dabbling into voodoo and witchcraft and santeria and all kinds of craziness, because they went too far. Okay, anyway, we don't need to take up no time on that. So I want to do a quick recap of last week's show for those. Well, I see this thing keeps going up, so let me see if there's any questions thus far. Thank you for joining, everyone. Craig Williams says, hey. Hey, Craig. Craig Williams says, when you smile, you understand. When you smile, you understand?
That's an interesting statement. JB Israel says, Shalom Aki Akat. Thank you. I mean, Shalom. Craig Williams says, we can't stand until God knocks us down to our knees. Okay. I'll take that, Craig. Some people do need to be knocked down to their knees. You're absolutely right. And so far, that's it for the comments. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining. So, yeah, I want to do a quick recap so that we can just flow right into part two. But anyway, I defined what a portal was. Remember, the show's called Close the Portal. It's a doorway, a gate, or other entrance, especially a large and elaborate one. It's an exit as well as an opening. It's access. It's also a link. The Strong Concordance breaks down portal as a door, opportunity, rush in properly, way of passage, opportunity of teaching others, effectual, opening or closure, and to enter properly. And it also says it can be literal and figurative. So literal meaning the exact, as you know, and figurative means other than what the literal meaning is. Okay, symbolic is one of them. Anyway, then he said the reason why we are in bondage is because we haven't closed the portal to the wide gate. Okay, so that was last week, I really went in great detail about it. I listed some open portals. One of them, well, I'll just list them really, really quick again. Familiar spirits, idol worship, doubt, overall change in the behavior for the worse, envy, gossip, false witness, murder, sin, wickedness, hate, thievery, anxiety, rape, jealousy, evil, lust, cravings, coveting, unforgiveness, ungrateful, addiction, cheating, adultery, etc. That's just the name of a few of the open portals. And then I also went into one specific portal that is pretty much the root to all the portals, is fear. Okay, and I broke that down real, real good. For fear, I went to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. We read through that, and we see that that's one of the enemy's most powerful weapons is fear. Fear causes anxiety, insomnia. It causes us to be punks. Depression, stagnant, doubt, hate, sickness, worry, all those things that I listed, fear is the root of all that stuff. Okay, if you just think about it and give it and gave it much thought and studied it for a little bit, fear is the root to all of that. And I heard to get blessings, we must operate in faith, and faith makes us take initiative in our authority. Fear does the exact opposite. We're standing. God is saying, get up and do this. Fear is saying, no, you can't do that, girl. What you mean? So it's fear is a bad thing. We throw that word around. Fear. Oh, I ain't scared. Yes, you are. If you are not making moves because of your financial situation or your educational background, you are operating in fear, because that could be a mask right there. That's a veil that not too many people are aware of. Just not making a move. You can be operating in fear and not even be aware of it. You know, sitting around saying, this is all I could get because this is all I have, is a clear indication that you're operating in fear and or definitely not operating in faith, okay? And both could be masked. You can think you have faith but don't have faith. You can think you have faith until a situation comes up where it needs you to exercise your authority. And then you learn real quickly that you don't have any faith, okay? Not even a mustard seed worth, otherwise you would have. So be mindful of that behavior. We're not going to get too in-depth with fear for this show because we already got in-depth last show, so y'all need to check out part one when you get a chance. But anyway, God gives us an amazing example of how to close a portal in Exodus 12. I read through that. Y'all know this story. This is right when he's about to bring them. I mean, I'm not laughing as a joke, but I'm just saying God showed up and showed out when he was about to smite the firstborns, and he told them to kill a blemish-free animal and splatter blood on the left, right, and the top. And we, as I explained, it was the depiction of Jesus in the OT. OT and New Testament run parallel. If there's something you're reading in the New T that you don't understand, you have to go back to the OT and see why that is such. New T, OT shows it from the root. New T shows it from the middle and end, if that makes sense. Okay. I have down here Hebrew 9 and 10. I guess I read through Hebrew 9 and 10. I didn't write in. Usually when I flag a scripture, I write like some notes with it. I don't have any notes next to Hebrews 9 and 10. I think I just read through it and really broke it down. So that all was part one. Thank you. Onali Lamuma says, thank you. I appreciate that. I do. So part two, how is the portal closed? As I said, God showed us how in Exodus 12 by the blood of Jesus. I mean, we don't have to sacrifice animals anymore and splatter their blood on our doorposts because Jesus has already finished that for us. He was the last sacrificed lamb. We don't have to do that anymore. So understand that. I just showed you how God showed us how to close the portal. Closing the portal means you are closing that doorway, the entry, okay? In the case of Exodus 12, I am closing the doorway. He was closing the doorway so that the death angel would pass over the Israelites, okay? Or Hebrews or whatever y'all want to call them, us, to pass over that house. If it was a house that did not do that, you did not close that portal. The death angel is coming to your house. So that's why he said, I'm sorry, I'm getting work texts. Let me make sure I wasn't. Okay. So then, for this show, Oh, I keep on saying storage. Oh, I don't know what's up with my phone. Anyway, so for this show, I looked up the definition of gate. Because remember, we broke down all the portal definitions. Gate is one of them. Gate definition is a hinged barrier used to close an opening in a wall, fence, or hedge. It's entrance. It's entryway. It's exit. It's opening, it's portal, it's a valve. It also means confine. Can you imagine that? I went to the concordance and see if there was anything in there, and it was. It says the gate is the root. Access, entrance to any state, and even had down porch, which sounds like a porch. So, yeah, gate definition is really, so you can kind of understand what God was saying when he said, close the portal, okay? And like I said, I read all Ezekiel 40. I mean, we're not going to do that today for today's show. What time is it? Yeah, it's 7:30. We're not going to read through Ezekiel today. If we do later on, maybe, but not today. But you can read through Ezekiel 40. And that was dealing with the temple, and God just really broke down the gates. Like, this gate is this gate is that, and then he gives the interpretation of what he's referring to. And this gate, and then this gate, and then there's the east gate, and then there's the south gate, and the west gate, and the north gate. And he really, really breaks it down in depth in Ezekiel 40 all the way up to about Ezekiel 45 is a breakdown of all the gates and how he wanted the gates. And then he also gives a breakdown of who can enter this gate, who cannot enter this gate, how they should enter this gate. I mean, it was so very, very detail-oriented. Obviously, that was a gate. That was a temple made with hands. Remember, we now are the temple. You know, we are the temple. Oh, my computer. I don't know why I did that. It just timed out. We are the temple not made with hands. So you need to understand that. So now we're thinking of, you know, put your mind and close the portal. We're not talking about a physical building or a physical gate. We are talking about, he was talking about ourselves. So what's the gates on this temple? Eye, ears, mouth, mind, heart. It's all gates to this temple. Even nose, okay? Even the nose, okay? You can have, I don't even want to get into it, but the nose is definitely a gate too. Some people can smell certain things, and they can actually smell evil. They can smell good, like a, some people say they got like a beautiful, I know somebody that had that gift of when she smelled roses or smelling something really like flowery, she can tell that there was like an angel present. Like it was an amazing gift. And when she would describe it, I would be like, oh my God. Likewise, she can also smell evil being present too. You know, and it was amazing. I said, wow, you can smell it. And she said, yeah, she can smell it. She couldn't describe what the smell was. She just said she can smell it. And I'm like, wow. So the nose is a gate as well. Okay. The eye gate, the ear gate, what does that mean? Watch your eyes. Why do you think God says, even if your eyes offend thee, pluck it out? Because this is a gate to this temple, us, your body. Lust, covetousness, all this, almost every evil happens in the eyes first. It's something that you're seeing, something that you're watching, something that, how do you know you want something? You see it first. So the Bible describes our eyes as the light of the body. So this is definitely a gate. Matter of fact, I did a show on, it was called Guard Your Gates. Y'all need to check out that show. And, I mean, we really broke down eye gate, ear gate. I don't think we did nose, but we did mouth gate, the mind gate, and the heart gate. So check out those shows. Those shows were amazing. And I really broke down each gate. So check that out. You definitely want to check that out. And like I said, all the shows I've been doing, if you think about it, the dots have been connecting. The dots have definitely been connecting. Okay, so Mama talking about dots being connected. So that's what happened on Tuesday. Thursday, I get to church, and guess what the pastor's preaching about? Decisions outweighing conviction. And I was like, oh, yeah. So what does that mean? We have a decision to make, whether good or bad. We don't use conviction when we, oh, my computer be bugging out. I tell you, I have this message that pops up all the time. It might be in my start menu or something like that because it always pops up. But anyway, our decisions is outweighing conviction. He really broke that down. When all of this starts, when we start to operate in authority, that's because the conviction is outweighing our decisions. And I'll give you, actually, I can read through my notes really, really quick from that amazing sermon. I have them right here. I'll just touch upon a little bit of what that means because, to be honest with you, that when I left church on Thursday, it was what I would describe to be life-changing. Like, it's one of those sermons that you hear it and you're like, okay. This is what I need to keep in the forefront every time a decision has to be made. And Okay, so I have the notes right here. I don't know why this is not closing. Anyway, so he broke down decisions, and what he said, how you know the difference between operating, making a decision as opposed to letting conviction take over, is you go by your energy, you go by emotions, and it's dealing with other people. And I was like, yes. And he even broke them down so you can tell the difference between the two. When you're dealing with a decision, a debate is going to be involved. It's like, oh, you tussling back and forth. Should I do this? Should I not do this? A debate is going on. When you're dealing in conviction, it's a display of what you're going to do. So I was like, yeah, you're right. When you're dealing with decisions, results follow that, as opposed to when you're operating under conviction, it's a resolve. It's a resolve. Decisions dealing with your future, like you kind of, your future is going to be affected by it. Conviction, faithfulness is the root of that. Faithfulness is there. Decisions, you are susceptible to a lot of things. Conviction, you are steadfast. I was like, oh my God, yes. And he just kept on. He brought in the story in Daniel 3, where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had to make a decision, but they let the conviction outweigh the decision they had to make. You know what I'm saying? The king says this. Yeah, we understand what the king said. We are not doing that. So conviction took over their decision. Daniel, the king says this. Daniel says, no, I'm not doing that. Conviction took over Daniel's decision. So he just really broke down, and look how they were all backed up, all four. Oh, yeah, I'm going to throw you in the lion's den. The lions are not even going to see me. The lions are not going to eat me, because I am letting conviction take over this decision, not a decision and then I'm feeling convicted. You know what I mean? Conviction is ruling my decision. And I was like, oh, my God, yes, that's what's going on. I mean, it was such a powerful and amazing sermon. It just really, for me, and I'm sure for everybody in there, it was really life-changing. It's something you can actually carry around in your pocket, the pocket of your heart, each and every time you're faced with something. Like, okay, I got to make a decision about this. Let conviction take over in making that decision. Is this godly or is this ungodly? That should be in the forefront. Decision is probably going to be ungodly. Conviction is always going to be godly. It's always going to be nothing that would contradict this word, nothing that would contradict nothing God told you, nothing that would involve disobedience, nothing that would be confusing. It's going to always be the right way to go. Remember, straight, the gate is narrow. There's no bunch of decisions and a bunch of different choices. It's narrow. Wide is where we get into trouble. Like, oh, I can do this, I can do that, I can do that, I can do that. And next thing you know, we're in a lot of trouble. So it was such an amazing show. Oh, then when he broke down decision, he added 4 threats to conviction. 1 is compromise. 2, following the crowd. 3, convenience, and 4, consequences. When you're dealing with the decision outweighing the conviction, that's the 4 things that is going to be a threat to the conviction taking over, which was amazing. I was like, yay, yay. So then he broke down what happens when conviction takes over our decision-making. He says it brings clarity and reduces distractions. He said there's a way to address conviction, and he says keep these 4 things into consideration: hungry, angry, lonely, and tired. That's how you know you're about to make a decision and not deal with conviction. He said, conviction, when you're letting conviction reign, it will push through the problems and the pain. Conviction shows up in discipline, and conviction is a catalyst for extraordinary. And I'm telling you, y'all, I'm not even doing what we learn any good, because I was just sitting here like, you know, when the sermon is so good that chills is just going through your body, like it was like that kind of sermon. And then he gave us some things to, when we leave there, he said to listen to God regarding conviction in these areas: character, relationship, work, money, and God. He said, and all of those, 1, 2, 3, 4, in those 5 areas, listen to God for the conviction. In other words, in your character. Like that's what God was saying to me when he said close the portal. That was dealing with probably all, I would say, because I was just thinking, which portal are you talking about? When you got to say which one, probably all, you know. Let's say money. It could be just like you're not tithing, or you're spending your money carelessly, or you're not asking God about your purchases. Like, okay, let's say, I don't care if you have a lot of money or a little money. Let's say you only got a little bit of money. You should definitely be asking God how to spend your money if it's just a little bit of money, because he can maximize that money. If you just listen to the moves he makes and what he tells you to make, your money will stretch. You know, you'd be surprised. Or he'll show you where to plant so you can get your harvest. That was just an example. Work. You definitely don't want to be taking any random jobs. Some jobs has the potential to destroy you, take away your peace, bring anxiety. Whether you overqualified or underqualified, there's no peace in it. Ask God about which job you should accept. I had to do that. That's why I'm in Georgia. I'm not in Georgia because I'm like, oh, I want to move to Georgia. I was asked God about where he wants me to go and where he wants me to work. He said here, and he confirmed this place a few times. So, and it's just so amazing. I'm not saying there's not hustles and bustles here. I'm just saying I have a level of peace being here because I know this is where God placed me, is what I'm saying. This is one no one wants to hear. I've even heard people teach against it. But you definitely want to listen to God's conviction regarding relationships. We all want to pick our own mate and pick our own spouses. And next thing you know, when things ain't going the way we want, we're blaming God. God, why would you send me this kind of man? Or God, why would you send me this kind of wife? You start blaming God when you did not get his prompting in that relationship in the first place. He did not ordain that marriage in the first place. Now you want to blame God. Woe is me. I can't believe it. This is just my life, for better, for worse. And then you start bringing up these random wordings that's not even in the scriptures because you made the decision on your own. You did not listen to God for the conviction of that relationship. Especially these days. I was doing that recently, and he said no. I said, okay. I said, is it okay? She said, no, it's no. And I tried to have the no be a maybe. And, man, when I said he was slamming that door in my face, God will slam the door in your. God will let you know that you are not going to be comfortable in your maybes when he says no. And that's what was happening to me. I was trying to drag on the no into like an almost maybe. Oh, Mama was telling y'all last week, if I do this, can I have that? And he showed me very, very harshly, I would describe to be harshly, no is no. And if you want to keep on forcing a no into a yes, this is how it's going to be. And I got a clear picture of how it was going to be. And I was like, oh, we ain't doing that. So listen to God. You can avoid some some irritating situations. Or And we human, we always want to say, yeah, I'm waiting on the Lord. But are we really waiting on the Lord until something comes up that we want to do? And then it's, oh, thank you, God. And trying to make it seem like he sent that person when he didn't. So don't turn a no into a maybe. Otherwise, you will be slipping on that slithery snake's residue for a little bit. Keep that in mind. When God says no, it's not a light no. It's not a, nah, I don't want you doing that. It's no. And that's it. And if you want to ask why and all of that, that's whatever. But no is no. God's no is no. And he doesn't want you prying that door open. So when he, that's for me, when he said close the portal, like I had a few different portals open. So I closed all of them. And one, I try to have like a little crack in the door. And no is no. No is no. So you can't lie to yourself, or you can't say that you're closing the portal or you have closed the portal, but you still swinging back and you still got that door swinging back and forth. You know what I mean? Or let's say a screen door, for example. A screen door is just a screen. Air can come in, air can come out. You know what I mean? You can see through it. Okay? God's door is solid. It's solid. When he says close the portal, he's not talking about leave the screen door open so air can still get in. Close the portal means close the portal. No residue at all from that portal you are closing. Closed is closed, shut. So I got that. I understood that crystal clearly. And like I said, I tried to have that screen door open and that air was blowing in my face. And those that know me know I don't like air blowing in my face. I don't. Anyway, how are we doing with time? Okay. I want to get into, let's get into Matthew 7, because I know how quick this time. It looks like we got a lot of time, and the next thing you know, we're out of time. Let's quickly go to Matthew chapter 7. I'm going to read something to you. I actually wear that on my wrist. I don't know if you can see that, but somebody gave me this bracelet, and it actually has Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 on here. So how amazing is that? Every day I wear it, and I mean every day. You will not see me without this, and I like it. It's got like a little metal plate there. It's a band where, and this side is magnetic, so I just love it. I just love it. I don't know where she got it from, but I would definitely want a few of them to just give out to people I come in contact with that I think would appreciate it and wear it every day like I do. Anyway, Matthew chapter 7. let's just start at the beginning of the verse. The verse I'm looking for, y'all know which one I'm talking about. But let's just start from the beginning. So it says, "Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the more that is in thy brother's eye? But, oh, I got another. I'm sorry. I got work texts going on that I have to respond to. We're supposed to get a snowstorm out here in I'm in Rocky Face, Georgia. If y'all know, probably you'd be more familiar with Dalton, but we're supposed to get a snowstorm out here, so we are kind of planning for tomorrow. Because where I'm at, when it snows, everything is shut down. Okay? And the block we live on is a cliff, so we cannot go anywhere when it snows. Let me just... Okay, got that taken care of.
Yeah, we have a snowstorm is expected for tomorrow, so we are making arrangements for that meal. Anyway, where was I? Verse 2. Well, let's just start at the beginning. Verse 1, this is Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the more that is in thy brother's eye? Excuse me, the mote. Okay, let me read that again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thy own eye? Verse 4, or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Verse 6, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again and rend you. Verse 7, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Okay. Verse 9, or what man is there of you, whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Verse 12, therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Verse 13, enter ye in, here's $1 million. Listen to this. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. I'm going to read that again, and do not just skip over this wording, because we have been skipping over this wording for years, right? Never really paying attention or even asking ourselves, what does this really mean? What does he mean by skipping over and going to the gate? We never really paid attention to that. Listen again. Verse 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Right after that, he says, enter ye in at the straight gate. Okay? And then he says, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. So basically, it's an allusion to strict observance of the golden rule, okay, in verse 12, and to repentance and walking the Christian way. I'm going to say believers, I like that word better, and walking the believer's way of life to the end of the narrow way. Then he speaks about a wide gate. Oh, I see something here I didn't see before. Oh, wow. Okay. Never mind. I'm sorry. I just saw something here I did not see when I originally studied. Okay. Anyway, we'll maybe save that for part. What time is it? 8 o'clock. Maybe we can save that for part 3. But then verse 14, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few be that find it. Okay? So this is very important stuff. Then he goes into being aware of false prophets was coming to you in cheap clothing, etc. Right in talking about these gates. Okay? Yeah, he's
If he's saying, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves, like he's already showing open portals, okay? That's given a great example of an open portal. Listen to a false prophet. You didn't open up a portal, okay? Ye shall know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes of thorn or figs of thistle? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit.
I got to respond to this text. You know what? Maybe I can play a commercial. How about that? Okay, I gotta. Let's see if there's any commercials over here. Yeah, there is. Yeah, listen to this.
Dr. James Jones III is a graduate of The Ohio State University. He has earned graduate degrees in African American Studies and History. Dr. Jones has produced the following books: Creating Revolution as They Advance, A Narrative History of the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. These writings examine the historical context that facilitated the demise of the Civil Rights Movement's patience and the ascension of a much bolder and less patient mid-60s Black Power politics. Manhood, Race, and Culture, Volumes 1 and 2, contains 66 essays that cover national events that occurred within the African-American community. Oh, Bruni, An African-American Odyssey Home, is an ethnographic study that follows an African-American to Africa, his ancestral homeland. Foolish Floyd, The Life and Times of an African American, follows an individual who emanates from a rich tradition of contrarians. You can purchase the writings of Dr. Jones at Amazon.com, also available on Kindle. Dr. Jones is also our network resident doctor and can be heard every Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern on the Initiative Radio Network. Please visit his website at manhoodraceandculture.com.
My bad.
Okay. Yeah, we got a snowstorm coming, so we have to prepare for that.
Okay. Where was I? A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into fire. Wherefore, by their fruit ye shall know them. Okay? Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have we not cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth
these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his home upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the flood came, and the wind blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened to a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. So that was Matthew chapter 7, right? So the whole point of that was the gate that he was talking about. Narrow is the way. This gate is narrow, okay? Keep that in mind. There's also a few, there's a few gates. So when he told me to close that portal, he wasn't kidding. Go to Matthew chapter 16 really quick before we get into Revelations, because we're going to get into Revelations. Well, how are we doing with time? Good, I'm doing good with time. Matthew chapter 16. And specifically, I'm going to read the whole chapter, specifically chapter 18, but let's just read the whole chapter 16. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came, tempting, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. And he answered them, this is Jesus speaking, when it is evening, ye say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today. For the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but ye cannot discern the signs of the time. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto him, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Verse 6, and Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Verse 8, which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves, because ye have brought no bread? Do not ye understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000, and how many baskets ye took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000, and how many baskets ye took up? How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Doctrine means to teach. So, verse 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Verse 14, and they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Verse 15, he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church. Here is what I want to flag out for you. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So there is also gates of hell. Okay? Be very careful of the gates of hell. Okay? I think I should just keep going. Yeah, it's not that long. I'm just going to keep on going. Verse 19. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Verse 21, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far, well, that part, oh no, I do need to read this. Okay, verse 22. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Verse 23. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is man profit? For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. So there's gate to hell, we learn. I want to get into, before we go to Revelation, how are we doing with time? Before we go to Revelation, are we doing real good? Let's go to Luke. Really, really quick. Luke chapter 13. And if y'all have these new Bible translations, y'all have to be really, really careful, because I was reading a Bible the other day that wasn't a King James Version, and some of the wording was supplemented, and it just turned the whole thing into a false teaching almost. So be careful of that. Please, reading these other Bibles. I read the King James Bible. So let's just close out. Luke, go to Luke 13, right? Luke chapter 13 says, well, I flagged verse 24. I don't think I need to read. No, it's a great read. Don't get me wrong, it's a great read, but I want to stick to the gate. This is different topics and subjects. Well, no, I'm just going to read the gate part. But you read it when you get a chance. Read Luke 13. It's a very good chapter. But verse 24 to be exact. I'll read 22. I'll start at verse 22. So this is Luke chapter 13, verse 22 says, and he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and have shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us, and he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in the presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. So you see, he keeps on saying, enter in. He even says here, strive to enter in at the strait gate. Strive to enter in at the strait gate. Okay? And he says, and many will not enter because why? They seek the wrong way. They seek at the wrong time. They seek in the wrong place, and they seek upon the wrong plea. We entertained you. Number five says, they seek with the mouth, but the heart is far from God. So be mindful of that. Make sure if you are going to enter in a escape that it's not just verbal. Yes, verbal is very important, but your heart has to line up with what your mouth is saying. Okay? Now let's go to Revelations chapter 3. This is so good and so direct. Revelation chapter 3. This is a really good one. Okay, Revelation chapter 3. I'm just going to, obviously, I need to read 20 especially, but I'm just going to read this whole chapter. Revelation chapter 3. This is good. And make sure there's no questions or comments thus far. Good. Oh, my sister was here. She said, hi, sweetie. Hey, Sheiky. That's my sister. That's a sweetie pie. Okay. Thanks, everybody, for joining. Okay. So Revelation chapter 3 says, and unto the angel of the church in Sardis, write these things, saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If, therefore, thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write these things, saith he that is holy, he that is true, and he that hath the key of David. He that openeth, and no man can shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. Verse 8, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. But thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, but to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. Hear this? And he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans. But anyway, write this to them. These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. See that? This is the season that God is not dealing with lukewarm. So when he was telling me to close the portals, he was basically saying, you are lukewarm right now.
I need you to get hot. You know, I don't want to be cold. But he, when he said close those portals, it was, that's lukewarm. That's what he was saying, you're lukewarm. And everybody knows, and everybody's getting prophecy these days of the lukewarm church is going to have a problem. So keep that in mind. verse 17, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in thy throne, even as I also overcame. I am set down with my Father on his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. There you have it. I mean, there's no, I mean, you can't even deny what these gates are. You cannot deny what these gates are. I read something, too, in Revelations 22. And, I mean, the whole Revelations, now is the time. This is that time. Now is the time you definitely want to read Daniel. Daniel coincides with Revelations. Daniel is showing it at the root. Revelations is showing it at the middle and the end. Read Daniel when you get a chance. But I like this wording that I read in, this is Revelation chapter 22. Yeah. It says, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and the Lamb. In the midst of the streets of it, and on either side of the river, there were the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be on in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Verse 6, and he saith unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Here we go. What is he saying? Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren of the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do the commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. He's saying, close those portals because you're gonna. I want you to enter into this gate. Okay? He says it right there. And may enter in through the gates into the city. Verse 15, for without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angels to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of this prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Verse 20, the last verse. He which testifies these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So that's his signature. That's also his copyright law. Copyright. Somebody asked me a while ago, what's the Bible copyright? And I was like, yeah, Revelation chapter 22, the last one. The last few verses is the copyright. This is God's copyright. Anyway, back to the portals and the gates. Close them. Close them. Quote, we're supposed to be all of them. Any gate that is not of God, it must be closed. It must be closed. Slam it. Slam it, slam it, slam it. Don't open it anymore. How are we doing with time? I am going to end the show in a few. I wrote down, nowadays there's too many choices. There's too many products. There's too many options. That's why we're not using the right products. There's too many. How do you know which shampoo to use? You go in the store and you're like, they all saying the same thing. Everybody's trying to use. Because it's too many options. When there's too many options, it's very, very hard to find. Scary. That was my alarm. Yes, too many options. This is what I wanted to read to you guys. I wrote down, how did God prepare Aaron after he closed? So after you close the portals, then you have to prepare to keep those portals closed. That's in Exodus 29. Basically, how did God close the prepare Aaron to keep the portals closed? Kill the flesh and cleanse the inward parts. So if you read Exodus 29, that's exactly what it's describing. Kill the flesh and cleanse the inward parts. Likewise, present day, we are not literally killing ourselves, but we are no longer Shemika. I'm Jesus. I'm an open gate. God's standing here at the gate knocking. He wants in this temple, not made with hands, right? I wrote down, flesh is an open portal that must be killed, in other words. How do we kill the flesh? Disobedience to self-destruction is how you kill the flesh. You don't listen to it. Ephesians chapter 6 is just like Exodus 29, describing putting on the whole armor. Okay, so that's how we reign with this, both in the portals and walking through God's portals. You have to be armored up to do so. Put on the whole armor. Y'all read Ephesians 6 when you get a chance. And there's two kinds of armor. There's offensive armor and defensive armor. I did a show on that too. Check up on that. I have a whole page called Shemika Blog Talk Radio, Remnant Peculiar Israelites. If you go to my main wall, you can see it's listed there under one of my pages. Check that show out. It's called Offensive versus Defensive. I did it not too long ago. Check that out, please. Okay, I think that is pretty much. Okay, so God's gates are men and women with the presence of God. They're going to see signs and wonders unknown to men, women, and children. Okay, they're going to be held up in prayer. There's going to be wealth, revival, great conviction, supernatural release, no crime, no more alcohol trade. There's going to be hungry men and women, God spells. This is going to be worldwide, the miraculous. There's going to be an outpouring, the Holy Ghost reigning, no more race war, no more division, silence of the wicked, and no more lukewarm. That's what God's portal is involving. And he wants us to get it together once and for all. Otherwise, what he say? That door is going to be shut. So the last thing you want to do is wait too long and then boohooing and whining, Lord, I did not know. Wait a minute, Lord. I mean, the door's going to be shut soon. We're not going to have a lot of time. The lukewarmers, that's us. That's me. That was me, too. That's why he told me to close the portals. He wouldn't have told me to close the portals if I didn't need to. He was saying, you are lukewarm. Close those portals. So I got that message loud and clear. Anyway, if you don't know the Lord, you don't know what we're talking about, you're feeling left out, you're not a believer, this is simple as a declaration. And the declaration is like this. Father in heaven, I believe that you are God and that Jesus is your son. I believe that Jesus died for my sins and that after 3 days he arose from the dead. Today I make a quality choice to turn from my past ways. Jesus, I ask you to please forgive me of my sins, and I invite you to come into my heart to be Savior and Lord of my life. Make something new of me, creating me a hunger for your word. I want to fully understand my responsibility and authority as your child. Thank you for salvation and for the promise of abundant life spiritually, physically, economically, and socially. Father, I purpose to give your name the praise, the honor, and glory with my words and with my life. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, amen. So you just simply say that, and you're in. And then you got a little bit of, there's a little bit more work to do, but basically you say that, you ask Jesus to come into your life to be your Lord and Savior, you're in. Like, it's not a qualifying thing. That is the qualifying thing, and then you walk in, and then you walk every day with him. Okay, I cannot do the show till 9. I'm working, like I told you, I always tell you I'm work. I work on site and I live on site, and the residents are back. I hear them. They're upstairs, so I have to go upstairs and finish working. But stay tuned to next week's show. I think we are finished with Close the Portal. Unless he says otherwise or give me some other angles to address, I will. But I have some other topics. I wanted to, it was a really, really good topic. Anyway, I'll tell you about it in a couple of days. But this show is every Monday from 7 to 9, 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. But y'all be safe. If y'all expected snow tomorrow, too, I think it's going to be a northern storm. So y'all be safe and y'all be careful. And we'll be home relaxing because everything shuts down out here. They're not used to snow. There's no snow trucks and plow trucks. None of that stuff is out here. You're just home. So y'all be safe, though, and stay tuned for next week's show. I'll make that announcement within the next few days. All right, have a blessed rest of the week, and over and out.